Once again, this is the Courtroom Observer's Call. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's the 6th of December, 2017. I'm not wanting to talk a whole lot tonight. Kind of a sore throat. Does anybody have any comments or anything that's happened over the past week that we need to talk about? Well, the latest on the trial out in Nevada is there's no court this week, and all of the defendants have been released. They tell me that the trial will go on, that the judge just changed their mind because of the prosecutor. She now knows that the prosecutors have been lying and hiding things, and that I think she's got to know that this trial and the previous trials is all built on lies and deceit. And so she decided to let all the defendants, even the ones that have already been charged, in other areas, in the last trials, she's decided to let them go home. Pre-trial release. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of think maybe this trial is over, or as good as over. They're having some meetings this week, and I understand there'll be more later. Probably going to have to figure out what to do with the prosecutors for all their lies and deceit.
Robert, is there some place that we taxpayers can apply for a refund for the waste of money on a big prosecution like that? Is there a form we can fill out?
There's none that I know of, but that'll be something that we need to look into because we sure need to do it.
Can we pass a statute that when they waste our money on frivolous prosecutions that they have to personally pay for it?
Well, I would like to hope so, but I doubt it.
I'm in a real practical mood this evening after doing a little bit of construction work today.
Well, I think maybe... Go ahead.
I was thinking about in Albuquerque, the courthouse, the federal courthouse is like Carlsbad Caverns. It's humongous airspace. You know, it's got to be like six stories of the lobby. And the heating bill on that alone, you know, who gets that? Is it the globalist get paid? Probably. That's why they build them so big like that. I wonder, anybody been in a federal court in Nevada? Have they seen, is it a humongous building with a lot of wasted airspace, or is it a small building? Does anybody know? Or the one in Oregon? In other words, I'm saying, looks like they're way overbuilt architecturally. I studied architecture in college. Form versus function, Frank Lloyd Wright. And I've also remember Joseph Campbell talked about the construction of these huge monolithic buildings signifies, you know, power and strength. And do we need all that in a republic? Just being practical, you know, about the whole thing. What a waste of our money. And, you know,
it is a waste. Now they have the big buildings because they have way more people working under them than what they need.
Well, you don't need 6-8 floors of open air space. You know, that's what's in Albuquerque. It's you go in a 7-foot tall door, and you open up into just a humongous. It's like Carlsbad Caverns. You ever seen that? The great room is like a 300-foot ceiling, and you walk across this space back over in the corner, and then there's the clerk's office. You know.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's ridiculous. Should get a FOIA on what the heating bill on that building is through the wintertime. It's got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm guessing.
I would imagine.
Possibly a million by the time winter's over. So that's what we have, so.
Well,
as far as Nevada, I hope they're going to, you know, shelve that whole prosecution. I think it's ironic how they go from where they started to this.
Well, it is ridiculous. I mean, you know, the Bundy standoff, there was not a thing done that was illegal. And the same way in Oregon at the Malheur County.
Those cowboys are pretty smart fellas, you know, the way they described the pig pen freedom of speech. And who was it, Ammon, that got out of the pig pen and they threw him to the ground, rubbed his face in the dirt? Those are pretty smart cowboys, the way they described things.
Yep. Well, you know, that family, the Bundys, they've always been very honest, God-fearing, and they've studied the Constitution. And, yeah, they're a very smart family, for sure.
I think that goes with living off the land, learning how to survive.
Yes, and that family has lived off the land for many years.
They're not going to work at 9 a.m. into a building and figuring out how they can rearrange justice so that they can get a promotion.
Well, that's
and
right.
And isn't that interesting? You know, in other words, it really is. It's like David against Goliath all over again. So.
Yes. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. You know, they run, what was it, 58 other ranchers off, and they figured it would be an easy thing to do with the Bundys also.
I heard that. And you have to wonder, there was only one rancher surviving.
And that's Bundys.
Who is that rancher?
Bundys. Yep.
Oh, really?
They're the only one left in Nevada.
Boy, that is David versus Goliath, then, so.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And that shows you right there what honesty will get you and what really living life the right way will get you. It actually will get you somewhere. So
yes.
I'm real proud of the Bundy family. I've never met them. I don't know that I ever will, but I've done a little bit of living off the land here in New Mexico, so I have a little bit of affinity for who they are and how they operate. So just as
well,
after
I think they'll be listed in the history books.
Yeah, like famous Chisholm Trail people or Goodnight Loving Cattle Company, or, you know, you're right. A new era in the 21st century version of all that, so.
Yep. Yeah, they, and Mr. Bundy, when they first announced that they were released, he refused to leave his jail cell.
until all the rest of the people were released.
And they released another four the next day, I think, or was it eight? So.
Well, they've a couple of days later they released four more, but they've also been others released from different areas. Yeah, my understanding is that they're all released right now.
Did Cliven go home?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's
He refused until they decided to release him.
It's what you call a captain of the ship.
Yep.
You know, when I first started assessing what was going on with the Bundys and the BLM, first thing I came up with was this is a family that actually is productive, is making a substantial contribution to the food supply in America and doing it independently. It's a natural resource that will resupply itself. And my first take on that was the government does not want Americans independent and productive, you know, and providing part of our food supply. That's what they want to get rid of was my first suspicion.
That's part of it for the deep state, you know, the deep state doing all that.
Right.
Now,
and
a lot of it was Obama's goal was to turn over all public lands to the control of the UN. And that's why they were running the ranchers off the land.
Yeah, well, I did read about the huge solar farm that Senator Reid was going to work a deal with the Chinese and build a huge some type of solar farm on that land. So
right.
Was their original excuse?
Yes. Yeah, Harry Reid's son had a deal with the Chinese.
Well, the Bundys are more ranchers, not farmers, but I know throughout my entire lifespan from the 70s on that you read articles about this farmer got put out of business, another small farmer got put out of business, a big conglomerate farm has bought up, you know, all the little farmers, and that's all we have now. And, you know, there's a big evil in that, too, that would be deep state.
Well, besides the deep state, and I'm sure that the big ranchers, you know, the big conglomerates, they were tied in with deep state, I'm sure, in all cases. They did things that forced the small people to sell out to them.
Oh, yeah, they figure out all sorts of ways to force people, to intimidate people, to submit.
In Oregon, in Malheur County, one of the things they did to one of the ranchers, because he wasn't going to sell, so they rerouted the river and flooded his property to where it was useless. Forced him to sell.
Now, who has the power to reroute a river? The Corps of Engineers, or who is that?
Well, the BLM did it.
Yeah. That's what's wrong with the federal government is it's this big brat that has to always win, irregardless, and that's the opposite of why people formed a government. People formed a government to protect their rights, protect their property, and the pursuit of happiness thing. And now we have this government that, you know, is like cannot lose, cannot be beaten. So where did that come from? Just 100 years of federal employees constantly advancing, constantly getting pay raises. You know, where did that come from?
Well, you know, this whole thing started back in the 1700s.
Actually, I heard Jan. Yeah, you're right. It came from the since the Organic Act, the plan. So,
well, even back at the time they wrote the Constitution, there was the people that were against it, and that's when the in that area somewhere is where the Illuminati started wanting to take over the world under a one world order dictatorship. And so they've been doing things for all this time.
Yeah. I've got a little bit of a hint that maybe Alexander Hamilton sort of played favors with the future globalist plan.
I don't know. But
can't remember if I got that out of the Federalist Papers or what.
Yeah. Well, it's...
I heard Jan. Was that Jan
I
heard?
I was just going to pipe in there with... I've got a couple of headlines, and some other headlines, but this one kind of went along with what you guys are talking about, and this is breaking news, and I think it's from the American News Today, which I don't know, you know, any of these, but it's the headline is Trump just crippled big government in one genius move. And then, you know, where it explains the YouTube, it says, if I may read it, I'll try to read it quickly. It says, the American people endured 8 years of an Obama era defined by abuse of power. We all can agree on that. President Barry O. abused policy to punish companies and expand the size of government. Often he manipulated long-standing tradition to get his way, tradition that wasn't constitutionally sound. He broke the law over and over to get his way. Now things are different. President Trump is undoing decades of insider politics. He is requiring government agencies to actually follow the law. Obviously, some people don't like it, namely corrupt Democrats, and I would add Republicans as well. Then it says from the Daily Caller, here's the important part. The Trump administration switched sides Wednesday in a case pending before the Supreme Court that could retroactively nullify tens of thousands of agency decisions. The litigation concerns an agency's decision to allow career bureaucrats to preside as the functional equivalent of judges during enforcement proceedings. These officials, called administrative law judges, ALJs, are hired by career bureaucrats. They are not appointed by the president, a court, or an agency head, but they exercise significant authority on behalf of the U.S. incorporated government in official proceedings. And it's just, you know, they're, I guess he's calling them out on these people who are giving everybody trouble. And then there's one more, let's see here, to do with
Hold
the
on
land.
A second. I want to comment
go ahead.
On that one.
What?
That's very good information, Jan. You know, they need that because due process is such a messy thing, you know, and it takes so long. And when you're trying to herd 300 million head of, not cattle, but American people, you need to speed things up, get things done, and there's just no time for that Fifth Amendment. So we just hire a bunch of people, our crony friends, call them administrative judges, and get things done the way we want. Get the cattle through the chutes, get them branded. Now you can go on to this next article, but that was a good article, Dan. Where'd you find that?
That was, it's the American News Today, and it's YouTube. But what I was going to say kind of sarcastically, not to you, but to what you just said, I agree with everything you just said. While they add another 180,000 needless, useless statutes to the books to give themselves more jobs. But the other really important one, I think, you know, in my opinion, it's that this was from December 5th, that President Trump is giving state land back that Obama stole in Utah. This is from the Conservative Tribune that they're quoting, that President Obama, former President Obama, abused the 1906 Antiquities Act. And now President Trump's Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, is reversing federal protection on 3.6 million acres. And in Bears Ears National Monument, 85% of the land that was taken by the federal government goes back to the states and state and to the people. Obama created 29 of these monuments, and there's a total of 553 million acres that, I'm having trouble reading my writing, that's taken by the federal government. And the people removing the statue monuments don't seem to like this. But Obama declared that, I mean, some of this was in play before he got in, but Obama declared 600 million acres of our land is federal land, and that's land and ocean space, and he declared it off limits to the people. And it said, this Conservative Tribune said, that the federal government now owns, they think, I don't think they do, but they think they own nearly one-third of all the land in the United States of America. They're claiming it as their own. So I guess the president, at least he started, you know, and returned, what, 3.5 million acres back to the people in Utah. Hope that's just a start.
Well, it is. It is, because the first report I got is there were 1.5 million acres in Utah, and I think that extended into Nevada. That was designated for monument, and he's reduced it all the way back to 220,000 acres.
Anybody know if any of that was taken from ranch land, or was it just open space?
Well, it was planned to take a whole bunch of it off of the Bundy Ranch.
Well, this is kind of off the subject, but I really think it's going to be the next thing that comes up, maybe. I mean, if my heart's feeling...
Well, he's already signed the papers to reduce everything. And he's not stopping with Obama's, but he's going after some of the monument land that Clinton signed.
That's
for.
Right.
Yeah.
But if my heart's in the right place, and I think that it is, you know, I mean, in tune with what's going on in the movement toward the people, I really think that for those of us who understand this liberty thing so well, you know, that's really a part of us, is that I think this is a really good time for us to start standing up for the First Nations people too, like, and start trying to bridge the gap that, I mean, a lot of bad things happen, and we didn't do it, but a lot of things happened, and they deserve, I believe, they deserve more than a dry reservation. And, I mean, I just think that with the movement toward liberty for mankind, it's not just for us. We're not just doing this in the United States. But that this would be such a good time for us to, you know, just start standing up for them. Because the Navajo people are somehow, I don't remember at all. I was reading too many articles. But something to do with the Navajo people didn't want the land to not be protected. But then there was other tribal nations that did want it to be protected. And so, I mean, I just think we can work this out. I really do. And I think it's going to take getting the federal government. Here's my idea. And part of it's got to do with what John talks about on Thursday. He's mentioned the matriarchal societies. Well, but the thing that I'm bringing forward is that if the people, not the government, if the people could get together and work out something, I think we'd do a lot better job of getting things worked out if it was, I'm not saying I should do it, but I'm just saying if there was somebody like Robert and me and 10 people and, you know, 50 people or 100 people, however, just regular people who care about liberty and care about others, got together with the tribe people, I think we'd get farther than the United States government, who's broken so many treaties with those people, nations and peoples already.
That is exactly what Trump has in mind, is he is returning ownership of the public lands back to the people, to the states, because, as he says, the people in the states can do a much better job of handling that property than somebody in Washington, D.C. can.
Yeah, right.
And he made it in a speech, that statement, just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I read that.
So, yeah, he understands that, and that's what he wants. And I'm glad. I'm Native American myself. And so...
Yep. I've got a little bit of Cherokee blood in me.
I like that idea of, you know, I don't expect for them to turn over all the land to the tribes, but at least listen to us and understand how to manage. You know, the Indians managed the land before the white man ever came, and they honored Mother Earth, and they were, you know, they honored the Creator, which is God. And so, you know, the people, all the people, just as the Constitution and the forefathers set it up, you know, the states are, in fact, the last ruling on public lands by the Congress is that all public lands will remain under the ownership of the people, that the only thing the BLM was assigned to do was to manage it, but that it must be managed in the best interest of the people.
Of the people. That's right.
They weren't doing that. They weren't doing that. They were under their own best interest.
And selling.
Yeah. There's a... Right now, the whole thing is to get rid of the bad, you know, get rid of the deep state and all the corruption, and then we can start adjusting things the way it should be.
And what theories are there out there that these other 56 ranch families that were kicked off their land by the BLM, that they could be restored?
Well, I would hope that's what comes about.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something.
But we still got, from Oregon, we still got a rancher in prison, him and his son, for starting a backfire. You know, when you're ranching, often the fires are set to burn off the bad brush and stuff. And backfires are set to put out a fire. Well, they did that, and they used that as an excuse to go after them, to try to take their land. They put them in prison because they said that they set a fire on government land, BLM land. Well, it was land that they were ranching, and it was they had the right to ranch. But, you know, they put them in prison. They did their time. The judge reduced the amount of time that he was supposed to give them. But they did their time. And then when all this stuff blew up, they went and arrested them again. And that was the reason for what happened in Oregon, is they rearrested them on the same charges, double jeopardy, and put them back in prison again.
That's like a government that is a lynch mob is what that boils down to. So, you know, and I bet all the vegetation that got burned off has grown back by now and looks twice as
well,
good
it
as
always
it did
does. See, they burn that land of where it's all brush and stuff, and it's not worth, you know, they can't feed cattle on it and stuff. They burn it, and then the good grass grows back. That's part of ranching out there.
I ran into that problem here in my little 50-acre forest in New Mexico. After I've been here over 30 years, after about 18 years, I used to, you know, I planted like 25,000 seedling trees on this property to improve it, and my goal is to improve it and some of its old growth, and, you know, I care for it. I care for it as well as you can, and as I would clear out dead trees and stuff to prevent, you know, accumulation of debris that can cause a forest fire, I would burn little piles of slash, no problem. And then along came the government one day with the authority that you have to get permission from us to burn those branches. And suddenly I was accused of the guy that's the only man here who's planted thousands of evergreen trees at my cost for my reasons. Suddenly I was being accused that I might burn the whole damn forest down here, you know. And I'd say, does that make sense? The guy that is taking care of the forest is, you know, going to trip over his work and burn the place down? And, you know, I just ran into idiots everywhere. And, you know, it all worked out.
Well, you were dealing with the deep state BS.
Just the control freaks. And the fact of
yep.
the matter is I experience they're not really qualified to be lecturing me about how to take care of things. So it went so far as I had to have a volunteer firefighters come in and extinguish what was just smoldering ashes, you know, to finish the day. And the next day I went out and looked, and they had basically continued burning overnight. And I called this one guy up and I said, well, I'd put a hose on that myself, but I'm not qualified. You did it yesterday and it's still burning, you know, that kind of garbage. Just a prima donna authority, whether it's government or people working for the government, it's these yahoos who just want to dominate somewhere, somehow. And they're really
That's the old saying, we're from the government and we're here to help you.
So, in the end, one of them was hurriedly writing on a piece of paper. He says, well, Jim is not responsible for this. Jim, it's not his fault. Don't blame Jim. You know, so he was afraid he was going to get sued over the matter. So, and, you know, just the little comedies that have gone on in my life here. So, and it would be nice if we had qualified people who really were working at things that they were trying to be productive, you know.
Well, I think that in the future we will have, because I think government is going to be reduced down to much smaller to where it should be, but also... Trump is taken out deep state. I mean, he's already neutralized the FBI. He's already pretty much neutralized the CIA by by confiscating their computers, and that gave them all the evidence against all the people that were involved in this corruption. And it's all coming out. And so there's going to be a lot of people go to jail. I imagine there's going to be many people on treason charges. And once all that is happening, then we're going to have a whole bunch of better people running government.
Well, it sure be nice.
We're going to have to help, and we're going to have to make sure that from now on we don't be lax. We make sure that it's good people that are voted in, rather than saying, oh, well, yeah, he did a pretty good job. I ain't going to worry about it. They don't ask questions or nothing. They just leave people in there forever.
I agree with that, and get it to where, you know, you're just asking a candidate questions about the Constitution to see if he's a student of the Constitution and
right.
And knows
we
it.
Need we need to ask those questions, and if they don't know it, don't vote them in.
They're not qualified then, and they're really
they're not qualified. Yep.
Well, and now, another.
I would like to see, at least for a time being, that no politician be reelected. That all, at every election for a while, non-politicians be elected into office.
Yeah, and no bar attorneys.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an automatic, that's like being a felon, and you cannot... You cannot possess a firearm, control of a branch of the government. So,
well, that reminds me too. Today, the House passed a new bill loosening the restrictions on firearms.
In what way? Did you notice? Did you read the fine print?
I haven't read it yet, but it's my understanding is it was greatly reducing all the restrictions on ownership.
It'd be nice to get back to the fully automatic militia. I noticed on an internet site today they were selling parts to convert AR-15s and AK-47s to fully automatic. It's like $180, and I went, is that legal? Or is this a trap? Is this the government setting us up to see if anybody will buy these parts? And
I think Deep State is in total disarray right now. I don't think they can plan anything.
Well, I hadn't seen that before. And to my knowledge, you can't possess the necessary parts to make a rifle fully automatic. Jan probably knows.
No, but I got something. I wanted to back you guys up to what you were saying before about the Hammonds, and then also a lot of the men from the Maurer were tried more than once. And what I read online was a comment by an attorney. It sounded like they didn't identify themselves that way, but, you know, you can kind of tell that someone was saying, well, that the Constitution says, I'm going to read this, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. And this attorney, said, well, yeah, but they're not in jeopardy of their life or limb. So it was like they were making the point, you know, that because Mr. Bundy wasn't up for a capital crime to be hung or something, that he could be tried as many times as the judge said. But so that was my lead up to just like suggesting that all of us start to really, really, really become aware of the applications. I mean, in a courtroom setting, you know, if we're doing observing or if we're just out and about, you know, talking with the people who are administrating the government services in our own locality, is we just really, if we could become aware of the importance of the 9th and 10th Amendment, that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That gives me goosebumps that our founding fathers were so astute, you know, with knowing what liberty was about and trying to protect it, that they would put that in. That, okay, so what, Mr. Attorney or Miss Attorney, if it doesn't, you know, specify if Mr. Bundy isn't up for criminal charges, that doesn't mean he can be retried, like, until the judge gets the verdict that he or she wants. And then the second one, you know, of course, is the 10th Amendment. Power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And, you know, those are almost any, really, almost any kind of trap, I'm saying, that we find ourselves in of no fault of our own, let's say, say we're not guilty, you know, which most of us aren't. Those two amendments can be used. I know that they don't listen to us, but I really think that, you know, from all these headlines that they're going to start listening. But those are two that we can use in almost any situation.
Yeah, well, I've seen so much corruption in state government, I kind of wish that 10th didn't say reserved to the states or to the people. I wish it just said the 9th and skip reserving any rights for the states. I know that's impossible. It wouldn't work, but they certainly have stepped out of bounds with the excuses they have to run roughshod over us.
That's
well,
right.
We can change that.
When we start really reminding them, politely, I don't mean snotty-like or, you know, getting into a even a verbal altercation with anybody. But I'm just saying that when we're calm and collected and we know our stuff and we're standing there talking to them, and like I did, I mean, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying that this was a situation that I was in last week talking with our water department, that I was having a nice conversation. I made sure that it was nice and that the person understood that I was not attacking them. And then I said, but you have to remember that the government is created by the people and not the other way around. And she did understand what I was saying to her. Because
Jan,
what they're doing,
that's what got me in trouble for the last year in New Mexico, was I used that phrase on Department of Transportation chief.
Yeah.
And
this wasn't the police officer.
He didn't like that at all, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to finish up by saying that what they're doing here in my little town, the people own the water utility. It's owned by the people. And what they're doing, I just can't believe it. They're shutting people's water off after 30 days of non-payment. And so I just decided that I was going to address that, you know, because I asked them, and we can all do this, and I did it on paper, but I took it in, and then I asked for the finance person and talked to her, and I just said, I just wanted to give this to you because what I'd like is for the public office holders to address this and tell me, the people, by what authority they claim that they can shut people's water off after 30 days, when that's neither reasonable nor customary for major utilities in our area. And I'm just asking them to state, you know, their authority to do that. And see, then, once they state what they believe is their authority, which they probably don't know that they don't have the authority to do that, once they state what they believe is their authority, I believe that we, at this point, not before, but, you know, at this point, with the president making the changes, that we'll be able to address it by, you know, by bringing forward what we talk about on these calls. And, you know, specifically that the laws of nature and nature's God are the foundational laws of our nation, that there is no other jurisdiction that's above that one. And if people need water, say in this instance, people need water to live, they already own the water, their labor and the fruit of their labor, their bodies, they've been monetized, everything's already been paid for. So why are we making a hardship and a safety and an unhealthy issue for the people here? Because everything that our local government, well, any government, everything that our local government is charged with doing has got to be done to the benefit of the people, or they aren't doing it right. And so, I mean, that's just the way I'm taking it here, is just to start there and not attack anybody or anything like that, but just start making our points, you know?
Yep,
sounds good.
I agree. I agree with you.
I mean, we can do it.
A lot of people's water departments have been sold off to private corporations, you know, who are price gouging. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing applies to energy products. So take my area. It's Rural Electrical Cooperative. You know, and it's we own the electrical system, and up until 10 years ago, we actually got tremendous rates on everything, and now we have a consortium. Name it is called Tri Plains Electric, who has gotten in as the middleman who collects all the energy and resells it to us, and I'm sure that is some deep state globalist corporation, you know, who's just waltzed in and sitting behind the desk and making a lot of money off of us, reselling us the energy, and our rates of, you know, electricity has gotten pretty expensive compared to what it used to be. So,
well, right now, behind the scenes, Trump has declared a martial law under the military, and once he finishes cleaning things up, we're going to be presented with a lot of new technology that has been around a few years but nobody knows about. One of those is going to be a system for free electricity for the world, actually, and there's a lot of other technology. I don't know what all is going to be available, but there's a whole bunch of money coming in that's going to pay off all our debt and put us in good shape. From what I'm hearing, they could actually do away with income tax because there'll be so much money in the coffers.
Well, income tax started right after the private Federal Reserve, so that goes hand in hand, but it may go other ways. But you reminded me of something, the hydrogen generator. That's where you got two hydrogens and one oxygen, and you can convert that into, take out the hydrogen, you got a gas, and you can create, you know, electricity, energy with it. And a few years ago, I'm researching that on the internet, and I see the Japanese have got these $3,000-$4,000 hydrogen generators that everybody can have one in their garage, and you don't have to have this big grid. And I started going, well, I want one of those. Where can I get one of those? And there was a dead end on the internet. There was no place to get one. And it was probably shut down by just what you're talking about being reversed and us given this technology. And that's a great example. A hydrogen generator makes no pollution, too, so it just puts off a water vapor. And there was a guy who supposedly made a car who could drive cross country for 6 or 7 gallons of water, and he mysteriously died. They said he was maybe poisoned at lunch was what happened to the guy. So,
well, you can build a small oxygen generator for your vehicle, and we'll still use some gas, but this will
greatly extend the mileage with the oxygen that it produces. And it's just, you just build a little box that'll fit in the engine compartment. I have plans for it. I know people who have done this. But there's a Tesla designed a system that's really nothing more than a giant antenna that draws energy out of the clouds, out of the atmosphere, that could provide free energy for everyone.
In other words,
you mentioned.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Sorry, I was just kind of just listening to you guys. But what's this about martial law? Sometimes I heard we're under martial law since 1933, but now this is the first time I've heard we're under martial law. Trump, you're saying that Trump put us under martial law? And supposedly, when martial law, is the Constitution still in effect with martial law? How's this all work? That's serious stuff, isn't it?
Well.
No?
There is really no provision in the Constitution for martial law.
There's
however,
yeah, what is it? Where's this information from?
Posse comitatus, you cannot use the military on the civilians.
But the, okay. Well, see, what is happening is... The good guy military are the ones that presented Trump with all this information about deep state and everything, and so they're just kind of cooperating with each other.
Well,
now,
this
it's
is very
little out of the way of way things should be done, but
well, yeah, that's what's
but
serious.
However, we. You know, this requires a lot of drastic
action. When did
action.
We get, is there, that's history. That's something really serious about, what was this date? When was this that we're under martial law? How come no one knows? No one talked about that.
I just get reports of this, that it was just quietly done. It's not legal. However.
Is it lawful? It's not lawful, obviously. Lawful. Isn't lawful, isn't natural right, doesn't the Constitution and doesn't supreme law of the land, doesn't everything, doesn't government's purpose is to protect property of man? A man have property, protect from trespass, natural self-govern if a man wishes to not be governed, if he's not governmental, government governs the mental, but... A right
you're
to choose,
still,
right to contract.
You're still locked up in that word game, aren't you?
Well, it's the basics. It starts with a man. It doesn't.
The
you're
basic.
Not born as a citizen, are you? Or
just,
are you?
Just,
are we born as
just,
a slave or a man
just
is different than a citizen, isn't it?
No.
I'm trying to get clear. I'm sorry.
No.
With all due respect.
Not.
Let's say
there's
you're born
no
as a creature of God. You know.
Yes.
God-given
but,
rights. To contract or not to contract.
The thing
the
on
law
martial
is,
law. Here, I want to ask everybody.
The Constitution.
Here's a good time to ask because on this call there's people from many different states. In New Mexico.
I thought it was just
well,
you.
They have,
sorry.
They have put up cable systems down the medians of so many highways that to me looks like the setup for roadblocks. Martial law, you know, coming. Has that happened in all the other states? You've got cable systems down the median blocking, you know,
no.
dividing the...
Wyoming has it, but it's because of wind storms and snow storms, blizzards and stuff, to where they can get people off the highway before a big blizzard hits and strands so many people out on the highway.
How about you, Jan, in Kansas? Have you got these steel cables going down the middle of the medians it would be perfect, you know, control ramps to put up blockades, you know, and armed guards. That's what I'm getting at. That's what it looks like has happened in New Mexico.
Well, it might, and I don't know about New Mexico, but...
has nothing to do with for weather. It's supposedly done for safety, to where that if a car careens off the highway into the median, they're not going to go into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, that's I've seen that, and that's exactly what they tell me it's for.
Yeah, okay.
But who? How do you know?
Yeah, that's the same in Kansas.
But the thing is, the Constitution is the law of the land, and that is being restored. And
so it's not
it
in effect. It's getting restored. If it's the supreme law of the land that protects property of, I mean, isn't it more accurate to say man than citizen? Does it protect property?
No.
We have a choice, a right to choose, God-given rights to be a man compared to a citizen? There is a difference. Citizen
is
more
no
like
difference.
A slave, is it not?
There is no difference.
Oh.
I was born
not as a man, I was born as a citizen, then you're saying.
The Bible talks about
citizen and not a man? I mean, what's the Bible say? God-given rights to man.
Can I ask, what is your name? We're getting to know you, and I don't know your name.
I go by Dan.
Okay, Dan. How would you like to be born as designated
a man?
Not
as a citizen.
That's the freedom.
I don't want to get divided here. You know, I don't want everyone
you
divided.
Are.
That's what you know the main plan is.
Right.
But we're
you
to
are,
discuss and put together this information. You know, truth.
You were you were born a man. But you are a citizen of the state that you live in.
No, I'm a man of God, not of a corporation. The U.S. is a corporation, right?
The Constitution is not a corporation.
The Constitution is a contract, but the U.S.
The
is a corporation.
The U.S., the real U.S.,
the USA is different than U.S. incorporated.
The corporation just
citizens
is U.S.
either.
They are usurpers. But the Constitution is for the real U.S.
The Constitution is for the U.S. incorporated.
No,
anytime
it's not.
We say United States incorporated, that's different than United States of America. There's differences in the two, right?
The DC
Constitution is not for the corporation.
The Constitution for the United States of America is for the organic United States of America. And the Constitution of the United States or of the United States of America is for United States Incorporated. So there's two, and they played word games with us to confuse us. But I'm following what you're saying, Dan.
Yeah, I'm following with you.
Well,
you're always
I
correct, Jan. I really like your information. You get right to the point on accuracy. That's great stuff.
I know what you're saying, Dan. It's just that here in the NLA, we do not get into the word game because that is giving credibility, and then it goes to a contract. Will you listen?
I'm here with all due respect.
When you play the word game, you're giving credibility to the fiction.
Well, what's the differences between fiction and nonfiction? I'm saying, so a fiction is a citizen and a nonfiction is man. Is that true or false?
No, nonfiction is a citizen too. We are citizens of our states. We are citizens of our country. That's nonfiction.
Are you a legal citizen?
But they created
legal and lawful. There's no difference between legal and lawful.
Yeah.
There's no difference between legal and lawful?
I disagree.
Right. I disagree also. That's the key. That's the point right there. Legal and lawful, look at the letters. Look at the meanings. Look it all up. Lawful and legal is different. A man can be lawful. Yes.
Hey,
yes,
guys,
Dan.
This is the Supreme Court opinion. This is the 324 U.S. 652, 1945. The name of an name of this opinion is in the Hoven, Hoven and Allison Corporation versus Evett, or I may be misspelled, E-V-A-T-T. It says there are three definitions of the United States in this court. So you guys go over there and read it. And 26 U.S.C. 7701, the term United States, when used in the geographical sense, only the states and District of Columbia, and there is the Buck Act. There is lots of definition of United States. You know, I would like to see. I may go again and read this opinion of Supreme Court. Hoven Allison Corporation versus Evett, I think. 324 U.S. 652, 1945.
Thanks.
The United States, you know, the fiction, the corporate United States is not all of the states. It's just Washington, D.C., that 10 square mile.
Right. That's a U.S. incorporated. Legal is fiction.
Right.
It's a corporation.
So, Mr. So
it's
the
contract.
Trump is the president of the corporation of United
yes.
States or the Constitution of United
States? Well,
Constitution
for
United
the corporation,
States.
For the U.S. incorporated.
Yeah,
and if we contract with that, if we contract with that, then we're bound. Then we have only like civil rights and benefits and privileges. We don't have our God-given rights, I don't believe. But,
yeah, exactly.
But the Constitution...
Trump is returning our constitutional United States to us, our constitutional republic.
You can love them one day and hate them another day. I mean, this guy is unpredictable.
Yes, yes, it's very wishy-washy.
He's not wishy-washy at all. He's a very brilliant man, and he's...
Yes.
He took 2 years prior to the election to put a plan together to get rid of deep state and return our constitutional republic. And his plan is working very, very well.
Until I heard about this martial law,
it
was sounding okay. I don't know what how we can find out anything about martial law. And other people have said that the FBI
is
not... The Marines have not taken the computers from the CIA, so I don't know where that information is. But I'm open and I'm trying to learn. With all due respect. Go ahead.
No, I have to disagree with you on so many things.
Check out the generic app.
We've talked to you about this before, and now you're back doing the same thing. So
I'm listening to learn.
Clarify.
Rather
than arguing about it. Right now,
no,
I'm just going to close
I'm not arguing.
This call because
I can't agree, but I'm just questioning, learning.